You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Woo! I'm glad to be here today. I'm telling you what, I'd rather be here than the best jailhouse in Texas. I'd rather be here in the best hospital in the county. I mean, there's other places we could be, but praise God, I'm glad I'm in church. How about you? This is another day that I can praise Him. This is another day I can bless the Lord. Praise God. I got up on the right side of the dirt this morning. But actually, you know, the day we don't get up is our best day as Christians, because we're going to go right on into glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles. I've taught on this before. Goodness, come on. Been pastoring 26 years. I've taught on a lot of stuff in 26 years. Now, I had this stirring in me, and I know many of us heard this over the years. In fact, if you've been coming here 26 years, you've heard this one. Psalms 46. I want to teach on that psalm. I love Psalm 46. It's one of my favorite psalms. I have 150 favorite psalms. And Psalms in itself is one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorite books. Y'all got to get some new people in here, because these old jokes, I mean, you know. I know you're thinking I've told it over and over, but if you get some new people in here, they'd laugh at these jokes. The Psalms were praises. Many times, at times of desperation, the psalmist would be. David wrote several of them. He didn't write all of them. But the Psalms means praises. And in times of desperation, many times the psalmist, whoever was writing, was crying out to God and making confession of faith and believing God and trusting God and turning things over to the Lord. Sometimes they're just worship. They're just, you know, where they're just worship Him for His goodness. But in every case, as you go through the Psalms from 1 to 150, you're going to see the goodness of God. You're going to see the greatness of God. You're going to see the power of God and the mercy of God. God is a merciful God. God is a good God. God is a powerful God. And He's holy. He's a holy God. But all that constitutes who He is. I mean, sometimes you'll have churches that just get on one point, the holiness of God. I believe in holiness. I believe God is holy, and I believe we should be holy and walk holy. Are you with me? But if all we do is just teach that and we don't teach love, now love's not an excuse for sin, but love does cover sin if we repent of it. Are you with me? If all we do is just teach holiness, then we're going to miss out on the love of God. Now, back up. If all we do is teach love and we don't teach holiness, then we're going to have a church full of just sloppy Christians. We're going to have sloppy agape. It's all about love. Well, love's part of it, but love's just part of it. God may be love, He is love, but He also is holy. Amen. Are you with me? And then if you just teach one aspect of it, you become one-sided or slanted or skewed, you know, in your theology of God and the way that you live. So you want to get a balance. God is holy, yes, but God is also love, and God is merciful, praise God. God is powerful, but He's also merciful. And so the Psalms cover a whole range of those subjects. And, of course, God's goodness always comes through, and His mercy always comes through. Listen, God doesn't hate you. Maybe you're in sin. I got news for you. I got some instruction for you. Repent. Get out of your sin. But God doesn't hate you. Are you with me? You say, well, can I just keep living like I live? No, you don't need to live like you're living. You need to repent of sin. You know, we say often, and you don't hear a lot in churches today, you know, because everybody's trying to be politically correct user-friendly, you know, or seeker-friendly. You know, we always use these terms, seeker. Well, our church is seeker-friendly. Well, I don't have a problem being seeker-friendly. The seeker is the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's the one that seeks and saves that which is lost, the Bible says. So you want a church friendly for the Holy Ghost. What they're saying really is that we're friendly to anyone that comes in. Well, I'm friendly to anyone that comes in, but I don't want people to think that sin's okay. We love them. God doesn't hate them. We don't hate them. But it's not okay to live in sin. And you know, when you talk about homosexuality, that's a sin. It's condemned in the Bible. It's an abomination of the Lord. However, if a homosexual repents, God will forgive them. And so we love the homosexual. Are you listening to me? But we hate the sin. We're not homophobic. We're not afraid of homosexual. We're not intolerant because we say that. Okay. Y'all stay with me. We love the adulterer, but we are against adultery. If you're living together, that's sin. That may be popular today, may be very popular. It may be very accepted. It may be cool, you know. But it's not cool, God. God doesn't like it. You need to get married. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You don't hear that in a lot of churches. But, I mean, you know, we're the church of God. We ought to stand for something. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. But in so saying that, we don't hate anybody. See, we don't want to come across in a legalistic manner. God's holy. Yes, He is. But God is love. God hates sin because what it does to you. God's against that, those things, because it destroys society. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. Hello. And you can see a trail of bodies that have been beat up and, you know, destroyed because of adultery or divorce and all these things that take place. Are you with me? So God's for us, and He's for you. Amen. And I know it's not always politically correct. Some people say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. There may be people out there that are living together. Well, you're the ones I'm talking to. I love you. I love you. I'm not against you. Are you with me? Well, there might be a homosexual out here. Well, great. Bring them all. Bring them all in here. They need to hear this. They need to hear it's sin and that God loves them so much He doesn't want them to continue that because it's going to ruin their life. And if you're here and you have that persuasion, you can repent of it. God can heal you and help you and deliver you and set you free. The gate is open. What are you doing in the prison? Come on in here with us. Come on in here and live a good life. Live forever. Go to heaven. Miss hell. Oh my, we got a message to preach. We got good news. We got good news. Hallelujah. Okay. Y'all found Psalm 46? I'm just treading water. I'm just getting there, you know. Old Pentecostals used to say, you know, when they get in that anointing, they'd say, ooh, I stepped into something there. You know, sometimes we tread water until we step into something. And we go, oh yeah, I'm going to stay right there for a while, you know, when you get something that's good. Okay. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Hallelujah. Yes. Somebody. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of being a believer in God and a believer in Jesus. My God. God is my refuge. And God is my strength. I mean, if the devil can keep you from talking about God, he can take your strength away. If he can keep you believing in God, he takes away your refuge. Nowhere to run anymore. Everything piles up on you. The things of this world roll in like a cloud of darkness and a storm of terror and fear. And there's nowhere to run to because your faith in God's not where it ought to be. Listen, you need to keep your faith high. You need to believe in God. You need to trust in God. Are you with me? Why? Because He's our refuge. He's our strength. You know, the same things happen in the world happen to us. Come on, tragedy happens to all. It's no respecter of persons. Crisis is going to happen. I know, you know, many times when we're young, we think we're bulletproof. But, you know, you get older, you begin to realize, hey, we live in a broken, fallen world. We live in a world where a lot of bad things happen. I don't believe God's behind those bad things. I believe God's good, not bad. I believe He has a plan. And I tell you what, the plan is He's going to take us out of all this mess. And all this is going to pass away. And we're going to go to a new place called heaven. And old things have passed away and all things become new. And former things have passed away. There'll be no more crying or be no more dying or be no more pain or be no more tears. Because that's not God's plan. That came because of sin. Are you with me? But I also realize right now I'm not in heaven. I'm in this broken, fallen world. What do I do? Well, I have some help. I have some, you know, I can have some promises. I can pray. I can call on God. I have a refuge to run to. I've got strength in the time of trouble. Trouble's going to come. You're in this life, trouble's going to come. But we got help when trouble comes. We're not helpless and we're not hopeless. Come on. Don't just take it all so personally, because if it's happened to you, it's happened to somebody else. And it might happen again. Don't just take it so personally. Listen, we're not Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? Well, you know, you're just part of the human race. The devil hates you. Sin has taken its toll. Adam sinned some 6,000 years ago, and I tell you, the world's been in a mess ever since. But God is our refuge. God is our strength. Amen. I'll tell you what, I've got a refuge. I've got somewhere to run to. I've got strength to call on. In fact, I have invisible means of support. And so do you. See, when everything visible falls apart, when nothing left to hold on to, we got somebody to hold on to. Amen? Because we're not looking at things which are seen, 2 Corinthians 4:18. But we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. All other ground sinking sand on Christ, a solid rock I stand. Woo! I got a refuge and I got a strength. That's what the psalmist is saying. And in that same verse, he says, a very present help in trouble. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. You have never been alone a day in your life since you got saved.
That's right.
He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even at the ends of the earth. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4 tells us that. And so we know that he is inside of us. Paul said, was 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, he says, what? Know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, but bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's property. We belong to God. I've got, you know, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. When I get there, God gets there. We often pray, Lord, go with us. Well, he's not going to jump out of you. I know that's awful religious, and that we often. And I'm not. Okay, don't run out of here mad and upset. But often we pray things because we've just heard other people pray that. Isn't that right? I mean, that's not scripture. Where is that? Lord, go with me. Lord, go with me. He said, I never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
Yeah. I like what Lester Summerall used to say. Lester Summerall was going on to be with the Lord. And, you know, he knew he had God in him. He wasn't afraid of the devil. He'd get in a foreign country and get off the plane, step out on the tarmac and say, devil, I have arrived. And I think they heard him too. To tell you the truth. No, Lester, if you know anything about Lester Summerall. But, you know, when we get there, God gets there. You brought God with you when you came. You're not God, but he's in you. Amen? He's a very present help. Very present. Very present. If there's a couple things you can find out about God through the Bible. One of them is that he's always now. He's not the great I was or the great I'm going to be. He's the great I am. Faith is always now. Now faith is. Hebrews 11:1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is now. God's now. Okay, God is now. And he is here. He's present. He's a now God, that's time. He's a present God, that's place. God is always present. He's always here. You don't have to run off and find him. You don't have to send someone across the mountain to get him, across the sea, and get him. Woo! You don't have to call up to heaven to bring Christ down from above, or call beneath to bring him up from beneath. What saith it? Romans 10, verse 8 says, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Think about it. All I got to do is call. He's right here. Don't have to send somebody to go get him. Don't have to wake him up. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Are you with me? He's right here. He's right now. He's a present God. Hallelujah. The holy present. And he's a now God. He's here and he's now. He's here and he's now. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
Think about it. So he's there for us, and he is right now in this present time, a very present help. I don't know what you're going through. That's impossible for me to know that. I'm not a psychic, don't want to be, don't believe in them anyway. Hello, not a fortune teller, don't believe in those either. You want to know the truth? Don't believe in UFOs. Just get that out there so you know that. Because I'm sure you were thinking that right then. Does he believe in UFOs? No. Let me tell you what I do believe. I believe in God. And I believe he is there all the time. I believe this room is filled with angels right now. I believe that. I believe the Bible is very plain along those lines. I believe there's another world that you don't detect with your natural senses or with your natural sight. But you can detect it by faith. And you can detect it as you trust him. And the spiritual, your spiritual eyes can be opened up as you get in the Word of God. And God reveals these things to you. Amen? And God always is there, whether you see him or whether you don't. He is always a present help, whether you feel him or whether you don't feel him. He is always there. He's waiting on your call. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Delivered, set free, healed, rescued. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, Jeremiah says this, he says, call unto me and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not.
Yes,
and see, that's the whole key. You just don't know. You don't know what God can do. You don't know how many ways he can get you out of the mess you're in. You don't know how many ways he can fix the problem you're facing or save you out of the crisis that you're looking at. You don't know, but God knows. And all you got to do is call. And if you'll call on him, he'll answer you and he'll show you great and mighty things which you know not.
Amen.
I don't know everything, but I know God.
Sure.
Hello, I can't see everything. Are you with me? But I can see what God says right here. He says he's there. and he's my refuge, and he's my strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. If gas goes to $4 a gallon, my God shall supply my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you with me? I remember when Brother Osteen used to say this. My goodness. This is way back in the 70s. He said, why, if gas went to $1 a gallon. And bread went to $1 a loaf. My God shall supply my need. And we go, woo! We all think it's never going to go that high. No way. No way. Hello. We passed that. We jumped that hurdle and went way on past it. But you know what? We're still here.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're still alive. Still got a spring in our step, smile on our face. Jesus is still Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Word's still true.
Amen.
Our God obviously is our refuge, isn't He? And He's our strength. And He's a present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. Now the second verse says this. I will move on a little quicker in case you're wondering how long this is going to take. If I don't get through, we'll just quit. So, goodness, I got to start that other session at 5 o'clock, so I'll quit around 4. No. I know you're calling on God right now. Lord, help me. Second verse says, therefore, we will not fear. Therefore. Therefore what? Well, when you ever see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Back up and see what was set up to that point. That's all there for this reason. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in our trouble for this purpose and this reason, so we will not fear. Amen? And if we'll get a hold of that, we won't fear. And when we do fear, we're not paying attention to what God is there for. Get it? He's there for this reason, so we'll not fear. I love that. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I used to get in a lot of trouble before I got saved. Never got in trouble since I got saved. Well, maybe a couple times. But anyway, before I got saved, I was pretty wild, and I'm not going over those details. But I had some friends that were a lot bigger than I was and tougher than I was. I used to get in a lot of fights, and I was on drugs and jails and those kind of things. You know, I'd live that life, ashamed of that life, not proud of it at all. But I could get us, our guys and our friends, in trouble real quick. I just had a real gift, you know, to do that, to get people stirred up, get them mad, fight mad. But I wouldn't fear much, and it wasn't because I was all that tough or all that great a fighter. In fact, you know, I've won some and lost some. I think I lost more than I won. But when I had my friends with me, they were tough. And so they gave me confidence. And you know what they were there for? So I would not fear. Hello? You know what I'm saying? Because you knew you could have, they would. They take up slack. There wasn't no problem. Whatever I couldn't handle, they could handle. So it just wasn't a problem. That's what they were there for. So I could keep talking big. Now that's a bad example, but let's think about this as a Christian. You know God's here. You know what He's there for? So you can keep talking big. So you can keep believing big. So you can face the devil down. You can face the temptation down. You can face the trial down. You can talk to it. You can speak to the wind. You can speak to the mountain. It'll be removed. Hallelujah. You can speak to the Christ. You can stand in the midst of the storm. I mean the battle of life when the bullets are flying. You can still stand because you know that God is there for this reason.
Amen.
You will not fear.
That's good.
Hallelujah. I don't care if it's financial crisis. I don't know what you're facing. It's any number of things in this congregation alone people are facing today. It could be emotional. You know, it could be all kinds. It could be marital. Listen, God is a refuge, He's a strength, He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, that's not deep, that's just simple. I know it's simple, but we need that. We need something simple. Are you with me? Therefore, we will not fear. And then He goes on, gives us some scenarios, even though the earth be removed. How bad's your situation? I often think, you know, when reading the Bible, when I'm facing a crisis, do I need the Red Sea split? Is it that big? God split the Red Sea. Think about the crisis that they were facing. Backed up against the Red Sea. And here's all the armies of the Pharaoh coming down on them. And yet God took care of that, didn't he? Split. You're not talking about this Red Sea splitting here. Woo! God's big enough. Amen? He raised Jesus from the dead. He can handle your situation. Amen? Though the earth be removed. Seems like everything that you put your faith in has fallen by the wayside. Well, now you need to put your faith in God. Should have been there all the time anyway. Amen? You should have already trusted in Him. But I tell you, now's a good time to look up. I'll tell you, when you're down the lowest, you need to shout the loudest. That's the time to shout. That's the time to cry. It's time to get your faith back on God. Amen? Hopefully you had it on them all the time. But if you didn't, now's the time to do it. Run to your refuge. Run to your strength. See, you can tap into this. You know, in this world we live in, and we get a headache, we take a pill. You know, we get up, we take downers. We get down, we take uppers. Good Lord, everything, all of our help's in a bottle. Whether it's a medicine bottle or a whiskey bottle or whatever the case is, you need to get your help from the Lord. You need to get your high from the Most High. If you want to don't be drunk with wine, whereas excess, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be under the influence of the world, be under the influence of God. Learn to run to Him. Learn to trust Him. See, that's what He's saying. Although, you know, the earth be removed, where's he going to run to? He's going to run to God. I'm going to run to God. I don't know everything that's going to happen to me, and you don't either. But you can know this if you'll live this kind of life and you'll prove Him over and over and over. You can know what you're going to do. You're going to trust God. Amen. I don't know everything I'm going to happen to me, but I know I'm going to trust God. Yeah. Amen? And He's got it figured out. Hallelujah. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, the roaring of the crisis, the roaring of the pain. You ever been there in a situation where just everything, you're just a shell of a man or a woman, you know, you're just nothing left. You just feel like you're like one little tap and you'd crack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're just shaking. You're shaking with the circumstances, the events, and life's got some rough edges, no question. I mean, a loss of a loved one, my God. I mean, in the natural, there's just we're looking at a task we just can't handle by ourselves. But thank God we're not by ourselves. Thank God we've got someone to call on. Thank God, though the earth is removed, the mountains shake with a swelling thereof, and the sea roars. Think about it. All this is going on. Praise God, it's not over. Praise God, you can live to see another day. Praise God, it will get better, and one day it'll all pass away. One day we're going to go to heaven, we're going to get rid of all this mess.
Amen.
But even while we're here, He can help us. Even while we're here, day by day, He can deliver us. We're not just looking for heaven. We're looking for help on a regular daily basis. We're not just looking for the ultimate deliverance, but we're looking for deliverance day by day. A very present help, not a long, far off, one day help, but a very present help.
Amen.
Well, one day. Well, I'm not talking about one day. It's today I'm concerned about. We talk about the fearful past, or fearful future, and the pitiful past. Brother Olson, you say, what about the old nasty now? This is where we live. Thank God there's a heaven and I'm going there.
Amen.
Thank God the past is forgiven. But praise God, God's a now God. Right now, He's here.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Might start preaching a little different here. Though, yeah. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. That's not a girl's name. That means stop and think about that. That means pause, think, meditate. What did we just read? Think about it. Have you ever had that kind of day? Sure, you live long enough, you're going to have that kind of day. Everything's going to come in on you like a flood. It'll come in. But what the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him.
Yeah.
The Bible also tells us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. But every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we will condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible tells us we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. He always calls us to triumph in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Victory, Victory, victory. Amen. Doesn't mean we don't fight. Doesn't mean we don't have battles. Doesn't mean we don't have crisis. But praise God, we win. Amen. We stand, we fight, we win. How? By trusting God. Amen. In fact, he goes on. He says, stop and think about this. Fourth verse. There is a river. Oh, I just love that. There is a river. You know, old David Sapp wrote that song. There is a river. I can't sing it like silver tongue David Sapp. But he'd sang that song off this verse. Jimmy Swaggart, I think, made it famous, but he didn't write it. David Sapp wrote it when he was 16. Isn't that right? I think he was 16 years old when he wrote it. We had David Sapp come sing in our church one time years ago. But anyway, just, oh my, what a voice. What a voice. But then he wrote that song, you know, there is a river that flows from the throne. Remember that song? Oh my, what a truth. What an awesome truth. That whenever everything, you know, looks like everything's falling apart. Whenever the bullets are flying, as it were. Whenever the explosions, the bombs are, I mean, nothing, just the noise of warfare and battle is going on in your life with the crisis that you're facing. There is a river that flows from the throne. See, you need to get your eyes on heaven. You need to get your eyes on Jesus. You need to get your eyes on God. Because he's got a river that'll wash it all away. It'll wash it all away. But you've got to stop. You've got to meditate. You've got to think about that. You've got to get your focus right. It says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of our God. Joy comes from God. We've been made endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And in his presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. I love that. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, a broken spirit drieth the bones. Get merry. Get merry. Get joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See, we get strength from God, and he brings joy where there was none. He brings hope where there was no hope. Because it is hopeless without him, but we are not without him.
Amen.
We are with him, hallelujah. We win this deal. So it says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city. See, if you get something flowing from heaven instead of all the stuff you got flowing into you from the outside, if you're just focused on the outside and you're just taking in everything you're looking at and feeling and seeing and so on and so forth, and you're not connected to God, if you're not hooked up to heaven, if you don't have that pipe, that channel opened up and open up that valve and get under that spout where the glory comes out, then you won't get the joy and the gladness that only comes from heaven.
Yeah.
It only comes from heaven. See, there is a river whose streams make glad. The streams of heaven make you glad. The river of God, the flow of God, the power of God, the anointing of God. In fact, I think when he's talking about river, he's talking about the Spirit. He's talking about the presence, the anointing of God coming in. Hallelujah. It just makes you glad.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how many times I've gone into prayer crying and walked out laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Walked out shouting. Hallelujah. Walked out, got the victory.
Yeah.
Walked in with a need, and man, just walk out dancing.
Yeah.
Go out with joy. I mean, in fact, that's what Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth like rain, like water, like snow. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. You've got to get a hold of God's word. And then it goes on and says, and you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth you into the singing. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I often say this, you'll be singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Mr. Bluebird will be on your shoulder. Hallelujah. From what comes from heaven.
Amen.
From what God says, from his word, from his promises. His word will be like the rain. It'll be like the snow that causes the ground to break forth and bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Maybe the dryness in your life is because you don't have enough water on it. You need the river of heaven to come over your life.
Amen.
To wash over your situation. To wash over you. And the river of heaven comes as you open up the gate. You got to open the gate, see?
Amen.
You got to open the door. You got to look up. You got to focus. You got to say you're going to trust him. You got to say, I will not fear. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Woo! Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth be removed. Well, let's go on down.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I got to close this out. Okay, we got to beat the Baptist to the Dairy Queen. God bless the Baptist. You know, we're interdenominational. That means I just mention all the denominations when I preach. And I'll thank God for Baptists and Presbyterians and a lot of great churches in our community. Fourth verse says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Isn't that good? Y'all, I might have to read on through, because I start commenting on this, and we'll just be here all day long. I want to encourage you to read this whole psalm. I'm going to read through, okay? I'm going to do my best to not comment a whole lot on each verse. It's good stuff. That's just good stuff. I mean, you know, hey, you want to savor every bite here is what we're talking about. You can gobble that steak up, or you can just sit there and just savor every bite. That's what we're doing, and meditating. Sometimes I wish I was kind of like a cow. You know, they got several stomachs. You know, they can bring it back up and chew some more. You know, but anyway. Okay, now, okay. See, now you're not hungry anymore. It worked. Got a little more time. Okay. Fifth verse, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I love King James. It says God shall help her and that right early. I just love that. I think that sounds good. God will help her and that right early. Now, you just got to be from East Texas to figure that one out. But, I mean, I like it. He'll help her just at the break of dawn. You know, God may never be early, but He's never late. Actually, I think He's always early, but we often say that because it seems like it's always late. But He actually answers before you call. You want to know the truth about it, this will blow you away when you think about it. And if it helps, fine. If it doesn't, throw it out. But it helped me. God really has everything figured out from the very beginning of the world. He knows when you're going to pray. He knows when you're going to believe. He knows when you're going to sin. He knows when you're not going to sin and when you're not going to pray. He knows that. And so whatever it takes to make your prayer come to pass, He figured it out from the very foundation of the world. He made the world in such a way that even though Adam sinned, He already figured it and He knew He would, but He had to let Him do it because of free will, and it wouldn't be right if He didn't let Him do it, because then He'd just be a robot. You would be too. So although God foreknows, He doesn't foreplan. He doesn't plan for you to sin. He just knows you will. But having known that you will, He's got everything set up, you know, for consequences for that sin or rewards for your faith. And so oftentimes we'll pray for something, and boy, that day we may walk out the mailbox and there's a letter with a check or something, and the check was sent several days ago. You just prayed that morning, and the devil comes along and says, that wasn't your prayer. That took place days ago. But see, God knew you would pray that day. And so He did everything necessary to make that happen that day before you call the answers. I think in most every prayer you can probably sit down if you're so inclined, if you have this bent or this proclivity or this propensity. You could probably sit down and just take God out of everything and say, well, this would have happened and that happened, that happened. And, you know, the rain, you know, the storm system was over here and it just split and went around your house. It didn't have anything to do with your prayer. It's just the way it happened. Yeah, but you prayed and God knew that. And He set everything up where it worked toward that prayer with that prayer factored in. God always factors our prayers in, always factors our faith in. And He knows when you're going to pray before you ever pray, before you call, He answers. Now, if that helps, fine. If it doesn't, well, we'll get to heaven. You'll find out I'm right. Anyway, that's the way I see it. Anyway, it says here in the sixth verse, let's read through. No comment. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and think about that. I love that. Eighth verse. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to see. He stops the violence. He stops the crisis. He stops the roaring in your head and your mind. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Hallelujah. Be still. Here's where we miss it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then he ends up with this, and we'll close out too. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and think about that.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
I want to tell the devil that every time he throws something at me. The Lord of hosts is my refuge. Yeah. The God of Jacob is my strength. Stop. Think about that.
Amen.
He's really talking to us to stop. But I mean, you know, we got to stop. We got to get still, know that he's God.
Yeah. Amen.
And when you do that, I will not fear.
Glory to God.
I will not fear.
Hallelujah.
Amen.